Hello, and welcome to An Awful Lot of Running, a Doctor Who podcast.
Woo!
You sound clearer this time. I don't know what that is.
Oh, maybe it's these brand new Phantom microphones we have on our chests.
Or maybe it's that we're actually, for I think the second time ever, recording a podcast in the same room together.
Oh, that as well, yeah.
Yeah, that could be it. Yeah.
I thought you alluded to the new microphones. Not
The new microphones are fun. You know, they're a community show investment, which is great. But we're in the same room, man.
Hey,
it's great, so I'm Jack, your usual host. Joining me as ever, the Tegan Jivenka, to my fifth doctor.
Oh, you actually had something this time.
I'm glad.
Hey, that is me. I'm glad to have had an introduction that wasn't too on the spot. Yeah. I'm glad, man. You had some homework.
Of course, I forgot to tell you, because you're Tegan, it means you have to record the entire exit, that the entire episode with an Australian accent.
Oh, bloody hell, mate. Oh, I'll do that, right?
You don't have to.
No. It's fine. Oh.
Robin, we're in the same room together because we're going to do something which is always fun. We're going to watch from Doctor Who together.
Oh, mate, that sounds like a banging idea, that does.
Yeah.
Oh, but so for context, I don't really know anything about the episode that we are going for, only its name.
It's very cool. We're doing our first ever classic Doctor Who episode review. So this is very cool because I'm well versed in that. Well, I've just come back from London, having seen Caves of Androzani on the big screen, amazing.
I've been to
the
FR
Club. It was spectacular. You know, I'll talk about that another time as well. That was just one of the best fan experiences I've ever had, genuinely.
That's good.
And I've been to the BFI a few times as well. And obviously, I'm a big fan. As of Christmas, I got the Blu-ray player, so I can now start collecting the collector's sets or the collections, which is great fun. And Roman, I'll talk about that in a second as well. So, episode we're going to watch and review today is the 20th anniversary special, The Five Doctors.
Oh, I mean, as far as I know, this episode has five Doctors in it, and that is the only context that I know. Or is this the four and the Doctors?
Okay, this is... I feel like it's the old joke. It's the old joke in the fandom, but it'd be more apt to call this the three and a half Doctors.
Oh, not even four and a half.
It's five on the tin. You open it up and you go back to the shop and say, I'm missing one and a half Doctors. What's happening here? We'll talk about that more when we get to the proper review. So it's the 20th anniversary story. This aired on around November the 23rd, 1983, it would have been. I don't know if it was out at this point that Peter Davison was going to be leaving the show, but it was. I know it was a big, this was a big thing. I think it aired during Children in Need. And funny enough, BBC Australia also gave money to this to, I think it was shown in Australia first, actually.
Really?
I'm going to have to double check on my facts on that.
Okay.
But yeah, I think that's why here. And I actually gave a lot of money to BBC Studios to be able to put it on and make it a big little lavish thing, and they gave them the money and all the budget went to making the new TARDIS.
I mean, I was going to ask you, did the budget go towards the particular...
The budget literally went to making a new updated TARDIS console. That was it.
So not a particular special effect that's been flying around the beams.
However, that does bring me to something I'm going to talk about. So we're going to be watching it from the Season 20 Collector's Box. Collection of the set, which is the first collection set I ever got because it was the one that sparked me and went, I have to get that. Mm. I have to get that one. Okay, so Robin, I have a prop with me here. Okay, so I've got a little bag. Okay, here we have first of all a standard Blu-ray. Okay, so a very standard Blu-ray. You know, so it is, okay? I'll then give you, so this is the first set they ever did. This is the season 12 box set, which is, you know, it's a nice little chunky boy. You know, it's Tom Baker's first season.
That's a good bit of art.
Nice, lovely bit of art. Lovely binding art of the franchise, okay?
I've been seeing these online, like the covers, but...
Mm-hmm. Good. So, like, you know, take a look at the size. It's quite a bit bigger than just a standard Blu-ray
setting. Yeah.
Obviously, there's a lot of discs as well and, you know, different things, okay? Here's the season 21.
Oh, my God. That's a big boy.
Ooh. Chunky Beast, signed by Peter Davison as of the weekend as well. So,
oh, nice. Lordy, coming.
So, yeah, if you open it up, you actually see...
Oh, nice.
You see the 3.5 Doctors on the front there. I mean, Tom's there. He's in one of the little shards, you know, what have you.
Oh, I didn't even see him. Yeah.
And in the box set here for season 20, we have Ark of Infinity, the first story. We have, if I can actually get the discs ready.
Mate, you are fully doing your pilgrimage, I tell you what.
Snake Dance, following that. Mauldron Undead. Terminus. Enlightenment in second. Wait for it. The King's Demons, which is a shit. And then we have the Five Doctors TV version.
Oh,
the Five Doctors special edition as well. And we also have Five Doctors the 40th anniversary version. And then we have another Five Doctors. They have three versions of the Five Doctors in this one set.
I mean, I'm just curious what happened between the TV version and this to make the DVD a PG go up to a 12? Like, do they get away with like the one F word?
I'm not sure. I mean, it could be this. Oh, I think it's the fact that they've got the special features on the final disc. So, you know, I know there's particularly one special feature on this, which is Peter Davison, Sarah Sutton, and Janet Fielding trying to navigate and drive to Amsterdam, which is, from everything I've heard, is just hilarity. Just that, all income there. That, so yeah. So you know very little about the Five Doctors, don't you?
All I knew was from the title that there were meant to be five Doctors, but the memes going around of 4.5 or 3.5 in this instance. I have no idea about who the villain is, what time period this takes place in. Sure. I didn't even know that the particular meme was from this one.
Yes, the time scoop meme of it coming down to pick up Bessie of the Third Doctor in it, the other car. Yes,
is that the actual effect from the show?
So there have been a few effects, and this is what ties into it with the different versions. The TV effect was just the standard, what they call the black obelisk, which I think just looks like the Master's cloak, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it comes down, it's just a bit of a naff triangle. The version the one I know more is the one I've got, because when I was watching Classic Who for the first time as a teenager, of course, I picked up the Five Doctors going, well, there are five Doctors in this. It must be the best one.
Oh, damn straight, you know?
It's a crossover. And so I'm very used to the one they call Mr. Whippy, which is like a sort of a weird spinning cloak coming round and picking up the Doctor and the companion and shooting off again. Oh. But now we have a new 3D super version. And I think we're probably going to show... I think we're probably going to sit and watch the 40th anniversary version, because it'll just be interesting to see and maybe comment on the special effect. And also, I feel like it may be the one which most people haven't have seen, so it'll be sort of nice to talk about that, really. So yeah, I think I'm going to show you that one, as much as I am a Mr. Whippy stan.
I mean, it probably costs the same amount to do the effect, you know, 99p, but...
Yes, it's...
I'm sorry, that's harsh. That's very harsh.
I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, this, because obviously it is billed as a 20th anniversary special. It'd be interesting to see what characters maybe return, what my characters appear, and you, as someone who's come into this completely fresh, what your expectations are. And
well, that's the thing, even if it's characters I'm not familiar with, what they've recently done in the recent specials, where they had, I was going to say Bonnie, but thank you for Mel. Oh my God! Like, even though I was not familiar with that character, I could tell that relationship just from that episode, and that, as someone who's new to Doctor Who, makes me interested. Like going back and rewatching Doctor Who, and get into like the first introduction, return of Sarah Jane with mm-hmm. David Tennant, and even sort of picking up like, oh, I wasn't familiar with her, but actually you could tell that relationship. That mm-hmm. that's great. And I'm really interested to see if they nail that in this.
You're a big fan of Sarah Jane as well, aren't you? So
I'm
you're gonna like this one.
Okay.
Yeah. I tell you what, let's leave it there. And when you hear from us next, we'll have watched the 40th anniversary version of The Five Doctors.
Alright. See you later.
Hello, little editor cameo. I'm just here to do a little sometime later kind of gag. So, sometime later.
Okay, so Robin, we just, about a week ago, sat down together, watched and finished The Five Doctors. It's probably, I thought about this since we watched it and sat down in the same room together, and now we're speaking over Zoom. It's probably I think it is like the classic story that I have seen the most time.
Generally,
it's up there in terms of like, you know, it's probably one of the first I watched, but it's probably up there with like Three Doctors and like Genesis of the Daleks in terms of like general like classic stories that I've seen over and over and over. But I think part of that is just because it's Five Doctors is what it says on the tin, obviously.
I mean, yeah. Three and a half Doctors. Now that I've seen it, I get the meme, and it's like,
And it is. Yeah. It's funny. It's something which Sam Davis said, like, you know, like as a kid or, you know, as a teenager myself, you pick up the you know, the DVDs and you see, oh, Three Doctors, Five Doctors, Two Doctors. There's more than one in here. They must be the best ones.
I mean, it's definitely got all five of the Doctors, right? It's not like they just took really old footage from an unfinished episode and then just used that.
Yeah. It's not like they just recast one of the Doctors because the actor passed away.
And, you know, it's like, no, Tom Baker was there. I saw the footage. That was footage I've never seen as a fan.
No, that was his Madame Tussauds wax dummy, Robin. You got fooled.
Oh, They just popped him up and sort of moved around like a marionette. like, you only see the back of him. Oh, there goes Tom off on another adventure. And it's just like the straw man sort of hat and scarf just pops up.
I love the idea that Peter's just behind it doing his best. Like, Peter Davison's behind it just doing his best Tom Baker impression. Like, let's go down the bloody pub.
Oh, when you showed me those photos after we watched it with just mannequin Tom Baker, it was just like, oh, how did they think this was convincing? he's not even on the side. It's like front and center. And it's like, guys, no, just
It's funny, isn't it? That obviously, you know, we're starting off talking about who isn't in the episode. William Hartnell passed away before, and you know, they recast Richard Herndl here, who I think does a fine job. He's just not playing the same First Doctor that William Hartnell
does. It is interesting. Certainly. Like, very quickly, a bit of a rewind before we go into the episode. Me, first time watching this, I had a blast. This was really good fun. And I had, again, I said this before, but no idea what was going to happen in this. And so the cameos from villains, from heroes alike, I was generally really, really happy and ecstatic. I really smiled from a bunch of them. And, you know, me and Jack, we were making fun of some moments, very BFI style, which I still really want to go to. And if I do, say hi. That'd be really freaking awesome to meet some of you. But it was so much fun. And even though we had fun sort of taking the piss out of certain silly moments, which, you know, oh, Doctor Who, some moments age like wine and cheese, and they're always good. They're always good.
And others are just fun to make fun of. Because I don't think I could ever actually hate any classic Who, because so much of it is just like too cute now. Like, I look at it and I'm just like, oh, bless them. You know, like, they had a 20p budget and some bubble wrap and they made it work.
What, you're telling me then that Sarah Jane didn't actually fall down the cliff and they just asked the actress to just roll down the cliff? You know, it will look convincing.
Slater, bless her heart. What? Right, I'm by no means a fashionista. In no way am I, do I claim to have in no way do I claim to have any sense of style. What the fuck did they put her in this? Mm-hmm. Because it is a travesty. She's in she's in like a cling film like mat.
Oh, it's like one of those ones you wear at a concert outside. Yeah. And then when I first saw that, I was like, oh, girl, not out in this time. And then she takes it off and it's like full on like old granny costume, the sort you'd see the Big Bad Wolf wearing.
It's like Victorian marionettes, like sort of like, you imagine, you put a penny in this machine and it does like a old tiny song where I'm dancing along.
But it's like she woke up that morning and just like, you know what? I'm going to go for old granny with a bit of raincoat chic.
There's a lot about let's rewind again. For myself, love the Five Doctors. Again, probably the classic story I've seen the most of. For Arvia, we chose to watch the 40th anniversary edition, which was on the Blu-ray. A lot of added special effects, which you could tell straight away. You were like, oh yeah, that's been added there. Oh yeah. And it was your first time watching it, but you knew a couple of like the memes just from being, around Doctor Who.
Being around you and your Twitter, that's for sure.
Yeah. I think it's so much so that I didn't say anything about it. But there's, as soon as the Time Lord goes, no, not the Mind Probe.
Mind Probe.
You were saying it. Like, you knew that's what it was. And you were like, oh, that's from this. And I was like, yes,
yeah, it is. That's the thing. I didn't know it was that. I didn't know it was the floating triangles. I didn't know it was the Rassilon. Speaking of the Rassilon.
It was the appearance of Rassilon.
Yeah, like, when are you meant to be dressing up as them? Yeah.
And you're drinking from the cup of Rassilon.
We were just taking the piss the whole time and just calling everything the blank Rassilon, which they do that. Like, everything is the blank of Rassilon. It's like, we get it. Like, take a sip every time you hear of Rassilon. You'd be dead.
Oh my God. It is so funny, isn't it? It's just, yeah, because that's one thing. I think also you got, it's the Fifth Doctor holding up the recall.
Yes.
And go, sorry, mustache. And yeah. We're shooting all over this, but I think it's great anyways. So, okay, there's the scene when we first come to Gallifrey. And it's the High Council there, and they call a chap in black, and he instantly said, without knowing at all, that the answer, he's like, well, that's the Master, isn't it? And then they went, come Master, and he sits there. This is the only story I feel sorry for that poor. He's sent there by the Time Lord to do this. He's like, yes, I will help out. Yes, I'll do this. Every single fucking turn, the Doctor's like, fuck off.
No, Doctor, seriously, I'm trying to help you. It's like, no, I'm not taking my chances with you. And he gets ditched by the Doctor in the car. It's by everyone that gets the chance, and it's just like, yeah, when you're getting banned by this guy.
And then to add insult to injury, he gets a fucking bitch punch by the Brigadier.
Oh my God. Like, the whole episode, I'm just there with Jack being like, when's the Brigadier going to do something? Like, I'm happy he's here, but he's just not doing anything. And then by the very end, he gets the punch, and I'm like, yep, that's it. That's the moment I've been waiting for.
I need to see someone recut it like anime music. That it's like slight. It's like, it's just a dialogue. And then he walks in with the. He just has eyes, and it's just like the, and then just the, oh, you wanna catch an eye, and then it's just the Master going like, Nani?
you say one goes with everything, and it's just that. But again, like, it sounds like we're shitting on things, but no, we legit had so much fun. Like, I think one of my favourite moments was at the very beginning, actually, getting introduced to the Brigadier, the Second Doctor, and, he comes in a full-on Yeti coat, and I'm like,
yes.
Is he wearing a Yeti coat? And you're like, Maybe, yeah, maybe. But it's when they get chased by the triangle and they run for a total of 6 seconds, like 10 feet. And then the brigadier goes, oh, I can't keep doing this. And it's like, you just ran 10 feet. Like
literally, just around the corner.
Yeah.
It's funny, is the version we watched is the 40th anniversary one. The original one's the black triangle. I grew up with the version which is called Mr. Whippy, which is where it looks like the squirrely thing come down, which I have a lot of nostalgia for Mr. Whippy. I think Mr. Whippy is the best, personally. I love the black obelisks they went for in this version. I'm like, because like the way it comes down, it looks so good. All this added special effects, like the come down
and the burn mark.
This, the little like scorch mark they have on the floor. It's really cool. Yeah. But that one's not. I gotta be honest. Brigand 2 isn't as bad as 3 and Bessie driving along. Looks in the mirror. Oh god, better go faster. Literally looks again. He's like, oh okay, I'm fine now. And then shoo, time scoops him straight up.
You know, I joke about running 10 feet. I'm in my 30s. Sometimes I struggle to run that myself. but, you know, that just made me laugh. And
yeah.
But
Sarah Jane's one as well. Is Sarah Jane's one.
Oh, when she...
because straight
there's away... There's a JoJo pose.
Yes. Straight up, they canonise K-9 and Company by having K-9 show up and, with Elizabeth saying, danger! Danger, mistress! The doctor! And she's like, that's not true. That's not right. That can't be a thing. Goes off. And then, sees it coming. Sort of runs slightly over to a garden-like fence. And then is like,
You can't see it here, folks, but we're just both JoJo posing, like bending our backs, just like arms out, just
It's such a weird story. I love it so much, and it is so much fun. I enjoyed it so much. Like I loved watching it at the BFI. That was one of the highlights of my fandom. Was sitting in a massive theater, and everyone going, "No, not the Mybrobe." And then watching it yourself as well was just wonderful. You know,
it's great because there's so much to appreciate. Like this was my first time with this carnation of the Master. And I loved him. Like this suave, very slimy, classic sort of villain, like almost like twirling his mustache, just chewing up the scenery in just the right amount. And it's rather nice actually that the Time Lords gave him a cape when he had teleported in. One that he wasn't wearing on him.
Don't you realise it was a transmat and cape beam? It was like, it was both, you know, those things.
Oh, okay, that makes sense, yeah. And there's just times where he just appears out of nowhere, just flowing his cape and everything, and oh.
Favourite is him with the Third Doctor, when he appears like, Doctor? And he's like, oh. And then he reverses Bessie. Like, takes a whole, like, 5 seconds doing that, and then it's like, oh, it's you! You fucking twat! You wanker! And it's like, whoa, Pertry, I don't know that you ever had this, like, relationship with Master. Like, it was kind of more like, you know, and then he says to, you know, Sarah Jane, he's my best enemy! And it's like, you know, they're having this whole thing. And then the lightning bolt comes down, and he's like, see? I told you he was a bollocker! You really are the most devious bastard in Rassilon's game! You know?
I'm sorry, then, I'm just hearing, he, I'm he hearing Matthew off. Perry right now, and I'm just like, oh my god, I want Matthew Perry as the Doctor.
Matt Berry, not Matthew Perry.
Matt Berry. Oh,
wrong
I
one. Don't
know. I was. Yeah. Matt Berry.
That's off me. No, fuck off, Master. There's actually a really good April Fool's prank. I'll link it to you later, where someone did a whole like render. Very good, very very good impressionist doing Matt Berry's voice in that. So,
but there's so much stuff to really enjoy in this because you know we get a Dalek show up, which is like, okay, you've got to have a Dalek show up. You told me this is like the one time we see this colour variant of it, which is interesting.
Yeah, with the black and then the red lights on top of it, yeah. And okay, we're going to talk about that bit. So just before the Dalek comes in, we have the First Doctor reunited with Susan.
I was really ecstatic about that. I didn't know they were bringing her back in. And then I was really happy and you were just like, oh. poor innocent woman. And I was like, why? And it's like, you know, but she's meeting the five doctors. That's going to be so much character development for her to meet these other incarnations. Does it even address it whatsoever?
Nope. You think it'd be a big thing that she's meeting, you know, like very early on in the story. It's funny, really, isn't it? It's the five doctors. They don't really actually all come together until the very last scene. But, you know, very early on, the first doctor and fifth doctor meet in the fifth doctor's TARDIS.
Mm.
And it's not made a big thing of at all that Susan is the doctor's granddaughter. They're just like, almost like they treat the first doctor and fifth doctor like they're not the same person.
It's like, obviously, different personalities, but they're still the same being. Yeah. We get this in later stories like Day of the Doctor, where you feel them sort of, they are the same person, and you could tell they're kind of bashing heads with each other, and there's that kind of ego. But in this, it's very interesting how they did it, and I still really enjoyed it. It's just when you see characters come together, you want them to have those little moments. You know, it's a real shame because it's like, oh, hello, Doctor. And now let me go in the background and not be given any lines to say to any of the other cast members as we just mutter rhubarb, rhubarb.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God. Like when, okay, straight up, this is one of my favorite, this is, you know, two of my favorite companions. Sarah Jane's in this. Tegan is in this. Do they really interact beyond Tegan, Sarah Jane, and then pretending to have a conversation slightly in the background, you know? Going back to the TARDIS as well, because the first scene, the fifth doctor and first doctor meet, obviously Tegan and Turlough. This is your first Turlough story, I believe.
Yeah.
Like the second scene when the first doctor and fifth doctor are like bickering over the TARDIS console, they've got a fucking little cafe table, Tegan, Susan, cocktails. The Turlows are a fucking apple teeny.
Yeah, they're drinking apple teenies. They've got full on like fruit bowl. And it's like, guys, I think you've got more important things right now than having tea, getting absolutely wasted off your ass. It's like,
in my head, it's just because Turlough is a bit of a nihilist anyway. In my head, apart from the beginning of the story, he never leaves the fucking TARDIS, does he?
No, does he not?
No. He must be there the rest. He must be. Yeah. I was going to say, at the start. And I know he must be there. Is he at the end? At the end there when Barossa comes in and freezes all the companions? He must be stood there as well. Like, yeah, he must be. But like, I just love the idea that Turlough as a nihilist just heard that they were in the death zone. I'm like, well, we're fucked anyway. I might as well get the booze out.
Oh, you just reminded me now of the death zone of like the Cybermen showing up and them just slowly creeping up on the Doctor and the Master.
Yeah, and the fifth Doctor and Master having this intense conversation. They turn around. Cybermen have somehow stealth, like obviously had rolled like a nat 20 in stealth and had just crept up to him. And also Tegan and Susan don't notice it, and one of them is like looped around as well, so they're like covered in all sides.
And it's great because just before they all surround, there's that one who kind of just walks in and is like, I'm interrupted a real sexual tension moment here. I'll just walk away.
And then the Doctor and Master, obviously, well, the Doctor gets away. The Master in no way is shot at all, but somehow falls and knocks himself out. And then Tegan and Susan go to run away. Susan literally trips over Thayer.
Oh my God.
I watched it again today. There is nothing there.
Nothing.
And it's like, what? Seriously, you're just making her, oh, I've sprained my ankle. I must retreat back to the TARDIS.
I want there to be a cut of this movie where every time she runs, they just cut to her rolling down the hill as if she just keeps on finding ways to roll down more.
No, that's Sarah Jane. Susan literally trips over nothing as well.
Susan. Yeah.
And like, fair enough. It's so weird, like the scene where Sarah Jane gets pulled out of the ravine by the third doctor. He's like, I gotta throw down this rope for you, tie it around yourself. She's like, oh, she seems like she's already had a few of those fucking apple teenies herself. herself, to be honest, at that point. And then she comes out and she's like, oh. And then it's such, like, Sarah Jane was always portrayed as, like, one of the most intelligent companions. She was a journalist, you know. Mm. This entire story, she just goes along like, oh, what's happening, Doctor? Oh. So much so, like, it should be a real big thing for her that she meets a doctor after, like, because of how they left and or how she left, you know. Back in thing, but again, it's such wasted potential between her and Susan in this, and it is just because it is a real clusterfuck of an episode. I say that as someone like, and I feel like I'm coming off so negative. I adore this story; it's one of my favorites.
I did like this was my first introduction to watching this. I'd happily watch this again because let's face it, you're trying to get multiple doctors in a story, even an hour and a half special, which to today's standards would be two episodes. Like a two-parter, that is still a tall freaking order. Like, even it's three and a half doctors, like, you have one just... That'd be like today, trying to get all the doctors together and be like, oh, but we got Christopher Eccleston back. We just reused footage that was never used for an episode and just put it in there.
I love the idea. They're just in the TARDIS, and they're just like, what do you think, Nine? And it just cuts to, like, something from, like, Boomtown, where it's just like, I was having to... And it's just the same, like, it's the same scene they've got. It's like, thank you, Nine. And then
and it's never addressed again.
Yeah.
But that's right. The thing, challenge is there. And like, you have to commend them for what they came up with, because let's face it, if they had all the doctors in the same room, every single scene, they'd all be competing for each other. There'd be so much talking over each other, so much exposition and such. And I think what they did by having all the doctors... Yeah. Separated and having all these classic villains show up, as well as new ones. Like, there were some really cool features. Like, I like the idea of the second Doctor meeting old companions who are like a mental challenge. And I liked that a lot, of this sort of, this ominous, what was it called? The Tower of Rassilon? It's just...
Of course it was the Tower of Rassilon.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
I was trying to remember the name, and I was like, oh yeah, it's obvious because it's just of Rassilon.
Of Rassilon, you know, because there's also the Ring of Rassilon that's, oh God, you know, the Sash of Rassilon, the Tomb of Rassilon.
Like, the Sash of Rassilon.
Like, what the fuck next? Like, genuinely, you know? Like, you know, the Seal of Rassilon is speaking there as well, you know, which, you know, comes back to us in Time of the Doctor, because the 11th Doctor has a little cheeky bit where he brings out that seal and goes, nicked off the master in the Death Zone. So, you know, that's nice to reference later on. But yeah, but still, like, fucking hell, how many of Rassilons are there in this? Because I feel like it's perfect for a drinking game like this, because like every time you hear someone say of Rassilon, you
take a drink.
and then when it gets to no, not the mind probe, you have to down your drink. I think that'd be fun, that would. But yeah, okay, so you were talking about, obviously, you know, if they did the version of this nowadays and they had to fill in Chris Eccleston with lost footage, very much, I'd say, noted by his absence in this is older Fourth Doctor Tommy Baker himself, who appears alongside Lala Ward as Romana in a, at the time, lost season 17 story. That was Sharda, which now has a billion fucking versions of it. About as many versions of the Fifth Doctor as the Five Doctors, to be honest. So yeah, if not more. So it is very funny to see, you know, that they just, you know, I think they do a good thing, because obviously I don't blame Tom for not wanting to come back for it, you know, because I think part of it was that he didn't want to, like, tread on Peter's toes, because he just left, like 18 months before this, I think.
The thing is, I really respect that, because let's face it, New Who, every single time we see a Doctor go, we miss them deeply. And we may be excited for the next one, but also, like, you know, I still need, within that previous Doctor.
It's like, honestly, it'd be like if David Tennant left in The End of Time and then appeared in Husbands of a Song, like the end of series 6. It's like, it's a bit too soon, you know. Day of the Doctor worked well because it is like 3 years in between, but it'd just be too soon, and I can understand that. And also, you know this is the time when people would have been typecast, you know, actors and actresses were typecast in different roles.
Oh, so 100%.
I can completely understand Tom wanting to maybe distance himself as well from this. So I don't blame him, but bloody hell. Like,
yeah, it's really obvious. And that's the thing. Me, as a first-time watcher, I was really confused at first because I was like, oh, it's him. That's clearly footage. And then it's just like, oh, wait, when is he coming back? And it's like, what do you mean? There he is. A static image of him. Just...
Do you know what? You know, your first clue should have been the fact that it was obviously being filmed in Cambridge, whereas the rest of this is in Wales or a shitty studio.
Wales, Wat Quarry, you know, all those, yeah. All those classics.
All of it in Wales, you know. But then there are truly some iconic moments in this, like, you know, the Raston Warrior robot, for example.
I really liked it. Like,
when you weren't lying at his ass.
Oh, my. Oh, yeah. Every time I saw it, it was just like, ooh, that's ass. Which was making you giggle like a kid, but
he was literally sat there, like, you know, going like, you know, think about something unsexy, think about something unsexy, and then the Russian warrior robots, they're going like, I'm wearing, it feels like I'm wearing nothing at
nothing
all,
nothing at all,
stupid sexy Russian warrior robot.
But it's like, the guy is fucking deadly. Like, as much as we joke about, oh, it's just a guy in a silver skin-tight outfit, he's like throwing spears at decapitated Cybermen. Like, one of them throws out of his mask, which I was like, whoa, this is better
as hell. It's so funny, because up to that point, it's really cute. And then you were, like, you just turned to me, you're like, bro, this is metal as fuck.
Like, yeah. I was like, yeah, get him. Get him.
Like,
Cyberman loses his arm, and it's like one gets his head chopped off by a spear or something, and it's like, hell. And it's,
yeah,
but then
brings me to something else though. Why is he so well equipped with, like, the spears, like the long spears and the rope and all that shit in the cave?
But that's what I was gonna say. Like, he's a really cool thing, and I'm like, oh god, damn, this guy is absolutely brutal. But then it's kind of diminished when you think he teleports into his cave and it's like, oh, okay, what should I use next? Oh, another spear, great. Teleports back, and you just feel like this should just cut to, like, his living room or something. He's just teleporting inside of his flat or something. It's just like,
his wife is there like, you said you'd be home soon, and I was like, honey, I've got to go back out, the Cybermen to kill. And she's like,
honey, it's the one thing I'm good at. Give me this one thing in life, okay?
I'm teleporting to my mother's. What I will say, though, is it gives us the absolute Chad move that is the Third Doctor on top of a mountain, somehow lassoing miles away the top of this fucking tower. Like,
I was like, it is like a mile away, and I'm like, whoa, nat 20 on your strength check, just like, how did you, like, the Doctor says a mad stuff, but it's not like a short distance, it's like a full on mile. And it's like, okay, sure, let's go with this. This is dumb fun. Like,
is it so much fun? It is such a fun story. I can't fault it for that, but it is. I've said it today to certain people. I said, if this aired today, it would be destroyed. It would be scrutinized in a way more than Power of the Doctor or, like, the Giggle have been combined.
It's sad because, and we were discussing this before we recorded, but we live in a day and age where everything has to be scrutinized, everything has to be reviewed. And a part of that is people have less and less time to themselves. Like, your family, man. Me, I don't get back from work sometimes until 10 p.m. at night. It's finding that time to work out what we're going to watch. And, you know, sometimes you want the internet to tell you, hey, don't watch Madam Web. It sucks. But, you know, it's like, you're completely right. If this released today, it would be picked on and everything. And even though we have spent a lot of this joking on about things, we do so because we had so much fun. And, you know, people who listen to this podcast, you know how crap my memory is. But this has really stuck with me. Like, I enjoyed so much about it. Like, on the finale as well was just good, goofy fun with the Brigadier just punching the Master's face. And
yes. And I love suck a punch of it, and just like, it's so brilliant that I love when the Doctors all come together, which, I mean, yes, it's just Barossa just sort of doing his best Darth Vader impression, and then the Doctors fighting back with contact, and then obviously, you know, Barossa, the very end of it, you know, is added to
we meet Rassilon. And Rassilon has this very cool voice. It's almost like Brian Blessed, isn't it? And they had well. And then, you know, he's like, you have chosen poorly. And then you will have immortality, but you got to be a thin slab. And we're going to have a bit
from
of a
love and monsters. Yeah. That happened, I was just like, oh no, it's Love and Monsters again.
Yeah, and I think I did literally turn to you and say, well, we even have a bit of a love life.
Like...
but then, again, it has one of my favourite sort of moments in all Classic Who, where it's like, you know, Rassilon's like, and what of you, Doctor? Do you seek immortality? Yeah, and they're all like, no, no, no. And then Pat runs and hides behind John.
Oh,
it's wonderful.
And the thing is, I love a good poetic death. Like, oh, you seek immortality, do you? Oh, you're going to get it, all right. You're going to get that monkey paw wish. And it's like, oh. And, you know, it's a really good way of resolving it. And let's face it, if this was any other sci-fi story, all the doctors would just get together and just beat the shit out of him. It's just like, they're all just standing there. And it's just like... I want to see the first Doctor
funny, isn't it? Yeah, because, like, you know, the whole thing of Doctor Who is that a lot of it is literally, you know, unless the Doctor's, you know, meeting a racist, they don't really throw a punch, do they?
Oh, no.
You know, it's just fine, what have you. It's all about, you know, they use their mind to defeat the villains and what have you, don't they? Yeah, I just love the idea that they did just... It's like, hang on a second, there's four of us here, there's the companions, let's just fucking wail on this guy. Like,
it's like, oh shit, I didn't think you'd actually lay a punch on me. It's like...
Oh, I can't help. Again, I said it before, and I feel like Pat is infecting me and, like, revolutionising me to be a bloody master stand, but I can't help but feel sorry for the poor guy in this one. I just can't.
He gets such a shocked expression as well when he's punched. It's just like, ooh. And it's like...
But also, it's the fact, you know, he's like, at this current point, he's on his last regeneration. He's currently inhabiting a stolen body. The Time Lords are offering her new regeneration cycle, which they can give. You know, we see that happen to the Doctor, for example, in Time of the Doctor. And so much other stuff there. He even has the line, you know, where he's like, you know, Cosmos of the Doctor doesn't bear thinking of. And, like, he's trying to help out. Yes, he double-crosses the Cybermen, but it's all in aid of doing what he's doing. And then he's just berated and fucked with and talked down to the entire fucking story. The only one that's like, you know, that actually is like kind of nice to him is the first Doctor, where he's like,
yeah,
what a remarkable fellow.
It's like, you know what this feels like? It feels like there should be a musical written from his perspective, like Wicked, and it's just called Master. It's like, I just tried to help you, and I keep getting pushed aside.
I think I'll try defying Mavity.
There we are. There we go. That's the line. I mean, yeah. Come on, Kat, get on it. You know, you write every other Master fanfic. Yeah. Get on that Master musical.
Yeah, come on, Kat, write it. And send me the Minecraft fanfiction. So yeah, it's a ridiculously fun, silly story, isn't it? You know,
it is.
As an anniversary special as well. It's funny because it's written by Terence Dix, who is very much Doctor Who pedigree. Like, you know, Uncle Terry, there's a reason we refer to him like that as fans. And he wrote so many of the Target novelizations, adapted so many stories and added to them, literally worked during the Pertwee and the Troughton era as well, and gave so many great stories. But I really think he struggled with the constraints that he was given here. And I think that it was just like, I imagine it was the sort of thing where, like, you know, probably as well, you know, JNT was sort of like, oh, it's the 20th anniversary, we need to make something amazing. And then stuff probably just kept changing, like, all the time. Like,
oh,
we hear the 50th, and Series 7 almost killed Stephen Moffat in terms of how just fucking ridiculous stuff was. I can only imagine back then where what it was like as well, because it's just absolutely insane.
You just have someone from the BBC just constantly in the background, just like rubbing their fingers together, just like, no, thin that budget more. Thin it.
Yeah, thin it more, yeah.
It's like, again, what they gave us, like, bloody incredible. Like, you think about it, years later, we got Day of the Doctor, which featured two Doctors that we, you know, grew up with and loved. Plus, we got like John, who was amazing. Like,
yes, yeah, how John Hurt.
How we got him in Doctor Who and him to play such a phenomenal role was just crazy. And for him to keep coming back as well with Big Finish. But it's like, again, if you tried to do the story today, I feel like they would try to cram them all together lots and lots. And I think they did the right thing with it being, okay, we're going to have them all split up, but they're going to have different fights with different monsters to sort of show off their different talents and the way they resolve things and the challenges in the tower as well. Well, really cool way of doing that.
Of like Rassilon.
Thank you. but
and the puzzles of Rassilon.
It's just, I really respect anyone to try and make a story where it's mandated. You've got to have all these characters. Mandate of Rassilon. but yeah, they've done a real good job. And yeah, some doctors definitely get more limelight than the others. But I'd happily watch this again. You know, this was just, this was cracking stuff.
It's one which I will always come back to. There's a couple of very good audio commentaries as well. Like, you know, Peter Davison obviously is very funny when he does one as well. Like, we watched it behind the sofa for this as well, which was very funny.
Oh,
as
well, you know? I'm so glad we fitted that in as well, because they were all having a blast. And, you know, they're mocking certain moments as well, but you can tell that they're having fun with it. It's very endearing, like we found with it.
It's I think my favourite one was when they actually cut to Colin and Sylvester watching it together. And they're like, it's actually quite good. Like, you know, they were enjoying it, weren't they? Like,
I mean, those two, you get them in the room together and you know there's going to be mischief. It's just like,
No, I think it's a good one. I always come back to it. You know, there's a really good David Tennant commentary as well, which is like an Easter egg on the special edition, the 1995 special edition, the one with Mr. Whippy. That one's probably, yeah, it's good old Mr. Whippy. I love Mr. Whippy. Mr. Whippy's how I watched it for the first time. Mm. So.
Also, we haven't addressed, they got some funding from BBC Australia, didn't they?
Yes.
And they got brand new...
Put it all into the TARDIS console.
Oh, yeah,
literally. Like, you can tell exactly what happened. They were like, okay, we can do this, we can update this, or we can get a brand new TARDIS console. And they were like, okay, and then we can go and do some great filming somewhere. And they were like, okay, how much budget we got left? 10p. Fuck, let's go to Wales.
But the thing is, that TARDIS looks great. And I really like it. Like, for me, that is what I envision as very much the classic TARDIS look. Because it does a real nice job of kind of clearly taking a lot of inspiration from the very first TARDIS with like the first Doctor, but also sort of modernizing it for the time. And yeah, just all the bells and whistles, just, ooh, it's lovely.
I do think as well that it ends on a sort of perfect little note as well. You know, like, you know, it's supposed to end with the Doctor going back to Gallifrey to become president, but he, you know, and Tegan and Turlough are like, well, that's it then. And he's like, oh, what do you mean? Like, well, if you're going to go back and become the president, I guess they're going to have to get someone to drop us off. And he's like, oh, no, God, no, I'm not doing that. She's like, and then Tegan, I think, asks him, so what, you're going to go on the run from your own people? And he goes, well, worked out well the first time, or something along those lines. Restoring the status quo, isn't it? And it's, you know, it's a nice little way.
It is.
Having that story then being like, okay, it's, you know, here's what it's always been.
This is a fun story, which, yeah, there's this kind of moments where you're having fun with it, you know, based on budget and the like. But again, like, you respect the hell out of the work they did. You know, it's a product of the time, but it's a good product of the time. You know, you respect what they had to work with and you commend what they did, because hot damn, that is a tough project for anyone to put together. And you know, the quality of the product is still great, and I thought the new special effects that they added for my first experience actually were really well integrated. Liked them, and
I have to say, some of the practical effects they actually have in it as well, which were in the original version, are actually quite good. Like, I really like, you know, when the Dalek gets blown up and you just see the little tendrils going,
that's so cool. I asked you at the time, like, was that the first time we'd seen a Dalek blown up and had that little squirmy thing inside in classic Who? But I think you were saying, like, maybe not, but
no, I think it's probably happened before, but, like, you know, that it's a very cool shot, isn't it, that bit?
It's always a good one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, though, I don't feel like giving it a rating out of 10, this one.
No,
I would just, because I feel like any rating just doesn't, I think some stories, you give a rating to it and it almost like sort of betrays the story itself. Because like, this is, you know, in terms of a watchable experience, it's 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
In terms of a
story,
maybe not so. But it's like, I'd say it's an episode of Doctor Who that every single fan of Doctor Who should watch at least once in their lives, because everyone will get something out of it.
And it never felt slow. Like, this is an hour and a half where I felt entertained the entire time. I was guessing who was going to show up next and pleasantly surprised by the ones I recognised. The ones who I didn't recognize, it was a pleasant experience to meet them for the first time, like especially the master, like classic master of them just twirling their fingers together. It's like, aren't I mysterious and evil? Oh, but yeah, like if we ever like watched classic seasons of Doctor Who back to back together, I'd feel then you do a rating series because you have something to base them all from. But yeah, this is an individual story. Just I wouldn't feel right about giving it a rating. I just say this is good fun to have.
Yeah.
And that BFI experience must have been just so brilliant.
I think it'll be interesting when we come and do Classic Who again to see what story we land on, because I feel like it's going to have to be something equally fun or just something fucking terrible.
Oh, you know what? Audience, those of you who are listening, give us your recommendations. Tell us what you want to hear next, what you want me to be dragged, kicking and screaming, watching for the first time, and your recommendations for drinks if we should have our apple teenies at the wedding.
It's going to be the web planet. They're going to make it the web planet, and it's going to be like...
You know what it should be? It should be that all we get sent is the cocktail recipe, which is vaguely themed on the episode. We have to put it together and then we turn over the envelope and it's like, oh, fuck, it's the web planet. We've got a web cocktail. It's like, oh, okay. You wait that... now that they're going to do that now. It's just...
if listeners don't, I know our friends certainly will. So we're through. I think that's a lovely time for us to put a pin in that and go to some space-time telegraphs. Okay, so first one today comes from the Star Doctor herself. Star has given a lovely... actually hits on a point that we talked about as well. She says, never understood where the Rastan Warrior robot got all that gear. If it has the capabilities it's in itself to teleport and shoot built-in arrows, makes you wonder if there was another possible future Doctor there a little bit earlier by mistake that might have left something.
Ooh. I mean,
interesting.
Big finish, you know, you can always do something with that. I mean, again, I still like the idea that it's just the flat and it's just the missus who has to constantly pick up the things and put it on the coat hangers. Like, honey, I know you work hard, but can you please pick up your shit and put it on the wall?
Could be a future incarnation left the blue backpack there with all of it in it. Next one comes from Fraser Gregory. Fraser has linked to their blog, actually, which is skiesfullofdiamonds.wordpress.com. Which I'll try and remember to put that in the show notes as like that. And it's got a lovely review about the actual episode. Some wonderful things talk about, you know, says here, if the three doctors set the template for the anniversary stories, the five doctors perfected it. All five doctors have a part to play in the story. And now we have multiple companions as well and multiple monsters, something we couldn't have in 1973. You know, there's Time Lord mythology by the bucketful, including the Master, another element we missed last time. And whereas the Three Doctors was just a normal part of Season 10, and actually, yeah, it's close to the 9th anniversary of the show rather than the 10th, if you want to be that type of fan, the Five Doctors, a special episode, airing right alongside the anniversary date. If the Three Doctors is 10, then the Five Doctors is turning it up to 20. I think that's great, and this is an absolutely wonderful blog post. I've read it all. Really wonderful review.
Really good,
Please go and check it out, because Fraser has done an amazing job for that one there. So, I will try my best to remember to include that in the show notes. Ben, the Vacuum of Comments, at Vacuum of Comments, says, what if I went rogue and declared this the only good Cyberman story? And then, of course, then he goes, I said, what if that this record show I have not actually bestowed such an honor on this series? And he goes, hashtag 10th planet supremacy. We know Ben has bad Cybermen opinions. And I mean, the Cybermen have one of the best scenes because it's metal as fuck when they get decapitated, you know. Next one comes from Chiba City Blues at Chiba City _Blues. Still one of my favorite Doctor Who episodes ever. Whenever I wanted to watch Doctor Who as a kid, listen to Pyramids of Mars were my go-to stories. Excellent. Impeccable taste, I must say. Not only are all the Doctors on top form, but it deserves way more credit for expanding Gallifrey lore so intensively. That's true. I suppose we know in the cut. I suppose where we are in terms of the series now, we probably don't think about that as a big thing so much. But yeah, this was sort of the first,
yeah,
you know, big looks at, you know, Gallifrey and the of Rassilon stuff. And then Tuba City Blues Carrick continues saying, as a grown up, I see the story's faults. The companions really got sidelined. The actual plot is basic. Yeah, I agree with that. But it doesn't change my love for this serial. It's turning out so fun despite the logistics. Exactly what we said as well. Yeah.
I think that bangs the head.
Yeah. Says, despite the logistical nightmare, it was to make. It is a genuine miracle. It's my fave anniversary special. And that is totally valid. Yeah, you know, I completely agree with that. You know? One more now from Jamie D. Slough. Jay D. Slough says, my favorite moment is when the master gets decked in the face by the brig and locks eyes with the camera mid-spin. His face screams, yep, that's me. You're probably wondering how I ended up here.
That's exactly it. Oh, that is brilliantly put.
A couple more now. Next one comes from Josh, the 52nd Doctor, at JoshCoy23. Great friend. One of my all-time favourite stories, up there with the Power of the Doctor, as one of the best celebrations of the show's legacy. Always an absolute joy to watch. Completely agree with that. And love Power of the Doctor as well, because I suppose it is kind of like this in a way, because Power of the Doctor is just fun, isn't it? And if you think about it, you can poke holes, but actually it's just a really fun story.
I think that's what you want from a Doctor Who story. Like, as long as it's fun and like you're enjoying it, then where's the harm?
I think personally, you know, like I love, like we've both spoken before about how Day of the Doctor is our favourite episode. And it is because it has those parts, but it's also just a really banging story, you know, on top of that as well, you know. Final one comes from Jacob at Jacob _ Red Engine. Says, it's fun. I wish more Doctor Who anniversaries were more like it with its cameos. Yeah, I can understand that as well, to be honest. That's perfectly valid. You know, like, yeah. I think, you know, three Doctors, you just have William Hartnell in a bubble. You know, Patrick's there as well, which is great. But there's no sort of returning stuff. You know, you get a bit more stuff about Gallifrey because Omega's in it. Maybe three Doctors would be a fun one for us to do sometime. But, yeah. And then I suppose Day of the Doctor really... The only cameo you really have is, what, Tennant coming back. And then I suppose, you know, Billy Piper is there, but not as Rose. So, I can understand.
We got these little glimpses into Gallifrey, and yet we've never seen the return of those Gallifreyan soldiers' armor. You know, those full-on Flash Gordon wannabes. And it's just, I saw those and I was like, oh, what sort of 1950s series did you step out of? Oh, I love them.
I think it's fun, and it's impossible to hate on, because it's just fun Doctor Who, isn't it? You know, let's face it. It's if you don't like this episode, you're probably just boring. Like I'm just saying now.
Like we spent an afternoon sat together, like catching up on old times because we haven't seen each other for ages, and we were just indulging in some good Doctor Who, laughing away. Yeah. It was a cracking time.
Laughed our asses off, didn't we? Because it was just so much fun. And you can't exactly write a Black Archive book on it, but it's fun. I'll put that on a sticker.
that's the awful one, lot of one in seal of approval. Boom. Yeah,
boom. It's fun. Lovely. With that, that's the end of our mailbag section, Robin. And I think it's time for you, the tasty morsel. It's time for a cannon buster.
Yes.
So,
that's a devious laughter.
Robin, would you like to find out what happened to the Rassilon Warrior robot after the Five Doctors?
Oh, please tell me what happened afterwards.
We said it in we watched it together, didn't we? Like, bro is fucking OP, right?
Yeah.
Bro is like mega OP, like super strong. Yeah.
Okay. No, 100%.
He got murked by Leela. The doctor's ex-companion Leela fucking murked him in the death zone.
What? How? Did she go like Prey style by like, it's like the movie Prey, where she sort of managed to sort of fought it by like.
Well, here's the thing, okay? There is an excellent, absolutely fantastic Fifth Doctor story from Big Finish called Time in Office. And that whole story deals with the Doctor having to become President of Gallifrey for those four parts of the story. And it's Tegan is there as well. And Leela was left on Gallifrey way, way back in season 15. And it's like a whole thing.
Mm.
Obviously, Leela, a savage, a warrior, you know, very much so. But very much just a woman, you know, just a very strong, absolute badass woman. However, she was sent there as part of like a group to clean up the death zone after the five doctors.
Yeah.
And somehow she bested this thing, which she calls a worthy opponent, and she's ultimately terminated the robot and mounted its head on the wall of her kitchen.
Oh my god. Where the hell is that spin-off episode, movie, whatever? Because like I keep seeing images of this badass sort of, like, I guess, like, almost Tarzan-type woman-type character. Because I've not seen her introduction. I've not seen any of her episodes. I keep seeing this companion and being like, oh, this is a companion that I'm really interested in finding out more about. Because they're so vastly different.
Might be interesting for us to watch Leela's story sometime as well. But I suppose Leela going into it is very much like a sort of Pygmalion or My Fair Lady companion, in that, you know, the Doctor finds her and, yeah, again, you know, describes her as a savage and what have you, because she is basically, you know, a warrior from a, you know, from like a post-apocalyptic future sort of, you know, situation. Like,
oh,
humanoid colony. But like, yeah, apparently girl can fucking hack the cheat codes of teleporting and OP fucking, you know, harpoon shooting. So
yeah, of all the companions, I could see her doing that.
So of course that does mean that, Robin, if we are using our greater than or equal symbols, it shows that Leela is greater than a Raston warrior robot, which is greater than a troop of Cybermen.
Oh my god. See, where is that Leela versus the Cybermen, of her just picking them off one by one, just painting herself with mud, blending in with the walls before just
that's the funny thing, that there's not even a Leela Cybermen story.
Like, that's a comic. Right there. Yeah. Like, oh my god. No. Know what it is? That needs to be one of the next entries for the next zine that gets made zine that gets made by Kat and the rest of the wonderful team that puts those together, which, holy shit, wonderful stuff.
Very cool, yeah, bro. But Robin, of course, that does bring us to the end of the podcast, unfortunately. It's been an absolute blast looking at this one, and I can't wait to look at more Classic Who with you as well. But, you know, we're going to be talking about a lot about new Doctor Who very soon, so maybe it's best for
us to tackle
that once we've had Shooty's series out of the way.
I'm dead excited for New Who, and we're going to try our best to cover those episodes as they come out, you know, based on our own schedules and lives. But that's so exciting, that is.
Yeah. And I suppose now's probably the time to say as well that you will be seeing us at MCM Comic Con.
As part of
the community show panel. We won't say anything more about that because we've not actually announced who the guests are going to be beyond Robin himself, who is joining the community show as a guest.
Yay!
In that sense, we're very nice. But yeah,
I am really excited and nervous at the same time. Like, I've done on stage performances, but something like this, where I'm sort of giving back to the community, like, Jack, you've done a phenomenal job with the other Jacks and like the panels that you've done before. And it'd just be wonderful to give something back to the community, especially with, let's face it, we've got a stellar lineup. And I think it's going to be so exciting for everyone to see what we're cooking. Like, absolutely, it's good times.
Yeah. Be fun. And it will also be available on the official Jack Alexander Nisbet YouTube channel. So make sure to subscribe and like when that comes out, the actual panel. Unless you're at MCM Comic Con, come and see us. We are on the Saturday. You won't be able to.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Like, say hi, have a chat. It'll be a good laugh.
Yeah. But don't spoil the episode for us. We're not.
Please, no.
We're not. Robin, wrap this up before I start bashing and start chatting about Midnight Gleeson.
Thank you for listening, everyone. Have a good night. Bye.
I've been Jack, who's been Robin. Keep running.
Keep running.